Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 401. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and bioluminescent plankton as we go to the island of Vieques. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have two news stories for you. The first one is just something you need to know if you're planning on sending an unaccompanied minor. United Airlines has just changed their policy so that unaccompanied minors can only fly on nonstop flights. One can certainly understand why they would do that. It's certainly much more of a hassle to try and make sure you don't lose a small child in a connecting flight. My children did that when they were in junior high school, and I know we're a little nervous about that ourselves. It is not clear yet whether other airlines will follow that lead or not. And then the second news story, which I thought was interesting, is there's a new app called Friendshipper. And Friendshipper is an app that keeps track of your contacts, your friends' travel plans, to allow you to crowdsource sending goods through them. That's the old, hey, if you're going to Washington, D.C., could you bring this to my daughter? I'm not sure whether you're going to consider that a good thing or a bad thing. It probably depends on which side of that you're on. For links to both of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Ira Winston from Philadelphia, who's come to talk to us about the island of Vieques. Ira, welcome to the show.
Hello, Chris. How you doing?
Good. And I will say that this we're talking about an island I have been to briefly and had, which I'm sure will come up later, one of the most interesting experiences I've ever had in all my travels. But why did you go to Vieques? Well, first of all, where are we talking about?
Vieques is an island that's 8 miles off the coast of Puerto Rico, and it's a relatively undeveloped island because of the military presence there until about 10 years ago.
And when you say the military presence, the Navy was bombing the heck out of it until about 10 years ago or so.
Right, mostly on the eastern end of the island onto what's now a reserve.
And that was very controversial at the time, but has since stopped. But why did you go to Vieques?
Well, we're big fans of Hawaii because we like Hawaii for its deserted beaches and private beaches. And we're not big casino and nightlife people. So Vieques felt like maybe Hawaii, that I didn't have to travel for 10 hours and change 6 time zones since we only had a week. It was our 30th wedding anniversary, my wife and I, and we wanted a place we could go for a week.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you. Someone put up with me for 30 years, so that's an impressive accomplishment.
I completely relate. We just celebrated 32. So, yeah, living here on the West Coast, we love to get to Hawaii, but really from the East Coast, from Philadelphia, that's quite a trek. You have to cross the country and then go even further to get out to Hawaii. So the Caribbean does make a nice destination. But there are a lot of places in the Caribbean, so why did you narrow it down to Vieques?
Well, because again, a lot of them are really built up resort places this is in the United States, so there's a little bit less hassle in traveling. And we knew a couple of people who had been there and really enjoyed it.
And we're talking about, we said the United States is really part of the territory of Puerto Rico.
Right, but you don't need a passport. You don't have to go through customs.
So what would you recommend for someone who's going to Vieques? What kind of, I say itinerary, I'm going to guess you stayed in one spot the whole time.
Right, that's correct. We stayed at a hotel. Basically, Vieques, you have two choices every day, which beach you go to and which restaurant you eat at. And that's kind of Vieques. It's also a very small feel to it. Everybody knows everybody else. So you can kind of master the whole island. I did a lot of preparation work for this trip because I hadn't been on a email-free vacation in 3 years. So I did a lot of research about this. And in fact, when we got there, we were driving down a road and we saw this restaurant called El Yate. And I said, oh, I've been there. Of course, I've never been there, but I felt like I'd been there.
And with all your preparation, give us a recommended itinerary.
Okay, so the itinerary is find the right kind of hotel for yourself. We stayed at a hotel rather than an inn or a B&B. There's also a W resort on the island. That's not really our style.
Now, that must be fairly new, too, because I don't think that was there when I was there.
Right, and the people who go there pretty much stay there and maybe venture out to go to the bioluminescent bay, but that's about it. Anyway, the itinerary really, as I said, is you pick whichever beaches you want to go to. There are probably 15 beaches on the island, and you go to a different beach every day. You also don't want to miss the Bio Bay and maybe a snorkeling trip. And you can do horseback riding. We didn't do that, but it's a low-key vacation.
Okay. And you mentioned the Bio Bay, and that's actually what I was referring to earlier when I said one of the most interesting things I've ever done in my travels. Tell us a little more. You did the Bio Bay, I assume.
Right. So the trick with the Bio Bay is it's best seen when there's no moon, because the moon, the light from the moon interferes with the experience.
Well, let's talk about what the experience is. First of all, when we talk about a Bio Bay, what are we talking about?
Okay. So there are what they call dinoflagellates in the water. And when the water is disturbed, these things light up a bright blue. And so when you're in the kayak, we're actually went in a clear canoe. As you put the paddles in the water, you can see this bright blue as you paddle. And under the boat, this clear boat, as you go through the water, you see blue under the boat. Now, on a night where there's no moonlight, you actually can see fish jumping in the water, and you'll see them light up blue. On a night where the moon is out, it's a little tougher to see that, and you just tend to see the light near the boat. You used to be able to swim in the Bio Bay. I don't know if you did that when you were there.
Yeah, we did the swimming, and I thought that was no longer the case. Yeah.
That's no longer allowed because people have DEET on their skin and shampoos and all sorts of oils, and the Bio Bay was starting to die. And in fact, a lot of other Bio Bays in the area have died out. So this is one of the last remaining ones in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and it's a shame they told everybody at the time not to put on the sunscreen and to wash off all those things, but you can't control that as well, as unfortunately. But it was a fascinating experience, especially swimming in the water, because we would go out there in an electric boat. You'd get in the water, and as you reached your hand out of the water, little points of light, these bioluminescent plankton, would drip down your arm. And of course, every time you moved your hand, it was like you sang with the paddle where the thing lights up. Now, on the other hand, the disadvantage of swimming is we had four kids with us on that particular trip. Two of them were our kids, and three out of the four kids all got stung by jellyfish. So there are some advantages of not getting in the water too, we should say.
But I think the part about this trip that is kind of the most harrowing for most is the ride on the car or van to the Bio Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a very, very bumpy road. So when you pick your tour operator, actually, it's more important to pick a tour operator with a good vehicle than it is the guy who has the clear canoe versus the regular kayak or regular canoe. The trick is to get someone who's going to bring you there in some sort of four-wheel drive vehicle or a van that can handle this road. It's probably one of the worst roads I've ever seen. So our friends who we met there went in a car there that was a somewhat less reputable tour operator, and they paid half as much as we did, but they got the ride of their lives in a regular sedan.
So you mentioned do the Bio Bay, do a snorkel excursion. Did you have any more information about what you did and where you went and what you saw?
Okay, so we went on a snorkeling trip with a company called Little Boat Sailing. He has this fellow named Jorge has a Hobie. And so it's nice because a lot of times you go on these sail snorkel trips in the Caribbean, and it's a bigger boat, and invariably it winds up motoring, not sailing. But this is a Hobie cat that could hold maybe four people, and there is no motor.
And when you say a Hobie cat, we're talking about a catamaran, a double-hulled vehicle that can be a fun ride. My first sail trip was on a Hobie, so.
And then he takes you out to a place called Limon Reef, and the fish maybe aren't the most exciting there, but it's some of the best coral we've ever seen. And we've been snorkeling all over the world. And this was really, really nice. And then he took us out to a mangrove where you can see the roots of the trees growing into the water. And it was pretty exciting out there as well. We saw a little shark out there and lots of fish it's swimming together. And I think we pulled out something called a sea cucumber. I have a picture of... I think my wife holding the sea cucumber. We also saw a starfish, and we have another picture holding the starfish. That was a pretty exciting trip, and he's a really, really nice guy. He's actually spent a lot of his career in the U.S. as an IT guy and only relatively recently moved to Vieques.
And which tour company was that?
It's called Little Boat Sailing.
Little Boat Sailing. And you mentioned the coral there, and I've done some snorkeling in the Virgin Islands. This would be the Spanish Virgin Islands. I'm picturing some fire coral, some brain coral. That's the sort of thing you're seeing?
Yeah, it looks to me, I guess it would be called brain coral.
Okay.
And there's also sea fans I have some pictures of as well. So the beaches, there are several sets of beaches. A lot of them are reserve beaches that are the wildlife reserve that was established after the Navy left. And a lot of them have names that are colors because that's what the Navy called them. So there's one set of beaches that's along the southeast side of the island. And it's the first set of reserve beaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one beach after another, and the parking places are numbered. And so you'll go to space 17, and there'll be a space for one car. And you pull your, well, in this case, Jeep, you pull your Jeep in to the space, and then you walk out to the beach, and it's pretty much your beach. And now this, we went in early November, which is just the start of the off season. In September and October, the island's pretty well shut down to tourists because it's hurricane season.
Right, sure.
So we went right at the start of low season because we're now true empty nesters where we could go on a vacation in November. So you go down these beaches. So the first one is Caracas or Red Beach. The second is Pirate's Cove, then Pata Prieta or Secret Beach, La Chiva or Blue Beach, and La Plata or Silver Beach. And so different days we went to different beaches, and one is nicer than the next. Some of them have good snorkeling right off the beach at Pata Prieta and Pirate's Cove.
Mm-hmm.
La Chiva has a little cay that's maybe 100 yards away, so you can swim out to the cay and do snorkeling out there. La Plata is the biggest of those beaches and probably the most popular.
And most popular meanings in November, there are two cars there, or?
That's right.
Okay.
So when you enter the reserve, right before you enter the reserve is a sort of famous food truck called Soul Food that's open Thursday through Sunday. And you go there and you stock up on food, and then you head out to the beach.
And when you say soul food, this is Southern style cooking soul food?
No, S-O-L.
S-O-L, okay.
Like
sun food, okay.
Right. Right. So the first day we were there, we stopped at Soul Food. And before the trip, I had done a lot of research, and I found an excellent blog called afterthemortgage.blogspot.com. So you get the idea. I had read most of the entries. And so we sat down at the tables behind the lunch truck, and we were talking to this fellow, and he said, well, I blog a lot about the island. And I said, oh, well, you must be Kurt. So that's how small the place is. You basically run into everybody you've read about. Then there's another reserve beach on the other side of the island called Green Beach or Playas Arenas. And we went over there. That's one of these places that really requires the four-wheel vehicle. It's not a lot of rocks. It's basically big ruts in the road that are filled with water, and you don't quite know how deep it is when you're going in. That was very, very deserted.
And are all the rental cars four-wheel drives, or is that a choice that you had to make?
That's a choice that I made, but I read about that in advance. And they're basically beaches you really wouldn't want to go to without the four-wheel. Then there's a third set of beaches in what's called Sun Bay State Park. These are really some of the only good beaches that aren't part of the reserve. Mm-hmm. And so before our trip in October, the U.S. government was shut down. And it turns out all of the reserve beaches were closed then as well. And so we were a little nervous that we were going to go there and most of the beaches would be closed. But, of course, the government started up before November 11th when we went, so we were in good shape. So, anyway, Sun Bay State Park has two beaches that are pretty easy to get to and pretty open. And then the last one is called Navio Beach, and it's down one of those roads that you're nervous to drive down. But again, at the end, they have beautiful caves down there that you can walk out to. Mm-hmm. One thing that you're warned about incessantly online and then in person and certainly at the Jeep rental company when you get there is that there's petty theft from vehicles mm-hmm. and from the beach. People jump out of the bushes or come on horseback and steal your wallets or cell phones. So you're advised to take all of that, either not bring it or take it with you. So we got a dry bag.
Well, I don't think that's a bad safety tip for any beach anywhere is don't leave valuables just sitting there lying on the beach on your beach towel and hope that they won't walk away. Obviously more problems in some places than others, but.
Well, Jorge, the little boat sailing fellow, told us that really it doesn't happen that often. But again, I felt more comfortable not losing my valuables. Mm-hmm. They also, the rental car companies insist that you not lock the cars and leave the windows down because apparently there are cases of people seeing locked cars and then they break into the car because they figure if people have locked them, there's something valuable in there.
Hmm.
So it's kind of
interesting.
A little interesting, but that's what everybody was doing. So that's what we did. In terms of safety on the island, otherwise, there is a bit of a drug turf war going on in the interior of the island, and they don't bother tourists. And as a result, they've sent over a huge police force from the main island of Puerto Rico. And one night we were sitting at dinner and we counted 15 police cars that went by in about an hour and a half. So I think it's that whatever problems have died down, but it's not really something that is all aimed at tourists. So we never really felt anything other than this major police presence.
And you also mentioned food, and I see some pictures that you've sent me of different dishes you have.
There are a number of restaurants that we went to. The kind of standard food of the island that pretty much exists at every restaurant is something that's called mafungo relleno, which is a fried green plantain mashed together and filled with either beef, chicken, pork, or seafood. We had the lobster mafungo relleno one night, and it was delicious. So you'll see that dish pretty much at every restaurant. One of the restaurants we went to is a place that was called El Canepo. And like many restaurants on the island, it was closed in September and October. And I had read on the blogs that the place was reopening while we were there. So we went to opening night and or reopening night. And when we walked into the restaurant, I saw a lady standing behind the counter who obviously was Kate, the owner. And so I walked up and I said, "Welcome back, Kate." Of course, this is my first visit to Vieques, so I've never met Kate before, and she was all excited that we knew her. We went to several other restaurants that ranged from pretty fancy to pretty basics. One of the nicer places we went to was a place called Mama Sanga's, which is a rooftop deck with a view of the ferry dock, and you can see the boats coming in.
So that would be in the city of Isabel?
That would be in Isabel. And Isabel is the main town, and it's where our hotel was. Mm-hmm. People actually live there. It might be a little bit uncomfortable for people who are used to resort towns because the walk from our hotel to the downtown area, a 5-minute walk, You're walking right past people's homes, and some of them aren't in the greatest shape. The people of the island, it's not a rich island. The primary employer right now is still the Navy doing cleanup. Obviously, tourism is a big industry, as is fishing, but there's a lot of unemployment on the island. So the houses are not in the greatest repair as you're walking by. Some people might be uncomfortable with that. We weren't. So anyway, Mama Sanga's is right there, and the roof deck is right near a lot of is covered with trees. And my wife and her, a friend we met there, were taking pictures of the iguanas, and one of them jumped and landed on the roof, or on the deck, right in the restaurant. And I have a couple of pictures of the iguana trying to escape the roof deck and getting stuck between the railings. Another favorite place of ours was a place also in Isabel called Vieques Beach Bistro. It has an outdoor patio and then an indoor area. And it's interesting because the locals all seem to eat inside and the tourists or maybe expats all ate outside. And one night there was a church service across the street, which is an outdoor event with a woman screaming into a poorly tuned sound system and then starting to sing. So we headed inside with the locals. And at first they were a little worried that we might not want to sit there, but we said, look, this is like way, way better than being outside with that bad sound system. And then they were worried that they were too loud for us. And it was pretty clear that the two rooms didn't mix all that often.
Interesting. What surprised you about Vieques? Because you had done so much research ahead of time, I'm thinking that there weren't a whole lot of surprises.
Well, we were pretty surprised about, I guess I hadn't read that much about the horses. So there are horses wandering all over this island. The horses are actually Pasfino horses that came over from Spain in the 16th century. But all the horses are owned, but people don't contain the horses because they can't afford to feed them. So they roam around the island, and then when the person needs their horse, they go track it down and throw a blanket or a saddle over it and ride on their horse. Now, I was wondering if people just grabbed any old horse, kind of like a zip car, and would just take the horse and then like leave it where they left it. But apparently, I'm told if you did that, there might be someone angrily chasing after you. So people know their horses. Apparently, they're branded. And it's not unusual to see a horse with an egret on top of the horse. And apparently, that is a form of symbiosis known as mutualism, where the egret is able to get certain parasites off of the horse, but the horse then also digs in the grass, making it easier for the egrets to get worms. And then the egrets have much better reflexes than the horses, so they flap their wings when there's danger near. And we have a picture of an egret standing on a horse. Often there's a dog following behind. So the hotel is a hotel that's known as Bravo Beach Hotel, and the current owners are the third owners, and the big battle in Vieques for hotel owners is getting title to the land. That's a challenge. So the first owner spent like $300,000 doing the work to get the title, to the legal fees to get to the title of the land. And they built this whole a hotel that's on the north shore of the island. And they sold it, and the second owner let it really run down. And so a couple from Minnesota who had been to the island before decided they were tired of their desk jobs. And they and his parents bought the hotel, and they've been fixing it up for the last 2 years. And it's a really, really nice hotel. It's right in the this Isabel neighborhood, and it has an oceanside pool, and it has something called an honor bar where you can just pick up drinks anytime you want and make a note, which was great. And this couple was really working hard to fix this place up. And it got really good TripAdvisor reviews. And we just had a fantastic time. They lend you whatever you need, and they're very accommodating. And we had, because it was our 30th anniversary, we had the honeymoon suite, which overlooked the ocean. It's not, even though it's called the Bravo Beach Hotel, it's not really a beach that you would go swimming from. That's sort of rocky, but there are plenty of other beaches on the island that you can go to.
Excellent. You started to describe it, and it sounded just like some of the other kind of off the beaten path hotels that we found on TripAdvisor also. In full and fair disclosure, I am working part-time for TripAdvisor again, but we use it in, it sounds like, in a similar fashion you do, to find these non-name brand, privately run kind of hotels that have a lot more character. So, excellent.
Okay, I should talk to you a little bit about how one gets to Vieques. So, you have two choices. You fly to San Juan, inevitably, mm-hmm. and then you can either take a ferry, which leaves from a town called, I probably can't pronounce it, Farajdo. The problem is that you have to take, it's a pretty long taxi ride from the San Juan airport to the ferry terminal. And so it's a $70 taxi ride, and it's a long ride. Also, the ferry is somewhat unreliable. There are times when it's just not working. And so we chose to fly on one of these puddle jumpers from an airline called Vieques Air Link. And it's a 15-minute flight and takes you right there. There's not a lot of air once this plane is flying. So it's a little stuffy in the plane, but pretty simple ride, nice view. And if you fly on a normal airline down to San Juan, they'll transfer your bags. If you somehow separated the trip, there'd be all sorts of surcharges for excess baggage on this small plane. Some people do extend their trip by going to Old San Juan or the rainforest in Puerto mm-hmm. Rico. We right. did not do that.
El Yunque. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole separate show on, actually two shows on Puerto Rico if anybody wants to think about doing that. So, and one of the things that when we were there, one of the things that was different about Vieques versus some of the islands further east is that it wasn't equipped to handle any cruise ships.
That's correct.
So we went there on a small cruise ship, a 100-person sailing vessel. But really, one of the things about the island is you couldn't park one of these gigantic 5,000-person sailing ships. So that's still the case. The cruise ships are still not in Vieques.
Right. And I don't know that really, besides the bio bay, mm-hmm. that there would be a lot, 1,000 or 3,000 people would do on the island. I mean, other than go to the beach. So I'm not sure that they would really be looking to dredge the harbor to be able to take a cruise ship right. Anyway.
Excellent. Who's the local you met who you were most memorable?
I believe it's Perry the dog.
Perry the dog.
So Perry met us outside the hotel and followed us all over town, including he came to Mama Sangha's with us and came up to the rooftop deck. And apparently Perry does this with lots of visitors. The folks from Bravo Beach Hotel have been trying to fix their fence to keep Perry out, but Perry's very creative and always manages to get into the hotel.
I've been asking that question for quite some time now, and I always say local. I never specified that I was looking for human, but you're the first person who's answered it that way. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Vieques.
The horse walking in the street with the egret on top with a dog following behind.
One thing you should pack before you go to Vieques.
And we didn't pack it, sadly, was bug spray.
Okay. Well, you said mangrove swamp, and I immediately was thinking that would be a good thing to have at that point. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Vieques. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Pretty much any of these reserve beaches. Because mm-hmm. they're just, I mean, it's just you and the beach and the ocean. And it's hard to see another person at all. And it's great. I have a number of pictures of beaches like that. It's one after another. And it kind of reminded us again of those beaches in Hawaii that you have to trek out over rocks. And usually in Hawaii, you had to drive as far as you could and then walk for a while to get to the beach. Here, you can pretty much drive up to all the beaches. There's no extra walk at the end.
Excellent. And so it sounds like the question of what to pack would also be a beach towel and a good book.
That's right. And snorkeling equipment, if that's what you're into. There's a lot of places where you can snorkel right off the beach, and we like that as well. It's fun to go out in the boat, but it's also great to just be able to go out snorkeling for half an hour every day.
Excellent. Well, those are the questions I have. What question did I miss asking that I should have asked, Ira?
The weather there is pretty much in the 80s all year. Mm-hmm. It's just that September and October are hurricane season, and so lots of places are closed. The car rental, you have to do that in advance, especially when you get into high season. It's hard to get a car. You also in high season should probably reserve your Bio Bay trip in advance. And again, you should look at the lunar calendar to see when the moon is the best. We, in fact, went on the first, the night we got there. That was going to be the best night, so that's when we went. There are only two gas stations on the island. They take only cash, and there are long lines, and they run out of gas on holidays. There are all sorts of warnings about the rental car companies hitting you up with charges. Reminds me of all the Chris Elliott blogs I've ever articles I've ever read. But we didn't have any problem with that. I think they've reacted to a lot of negative TripAdvisor press, and they're very thorough when they take the car out. These Jeeps get pretty beat up driving. I've heard that they only keep them in service for 2 or 3 years.
And you mentioned Chris Elliott, and I'm not sure everybody is familiar with Chris, but he is a travel ombudsman. So if you do run into a problem where somebody cheats you, he has a website where he'll often help people to sort through that and get their money back or something like that. So that is a very good resource for people to check out.
The official beer of the island is a beer known as Medalla Light, which most people wouldn't drink, but it turns out I'm a big light beer drinker, so I was quite pleased to see that the beer that would be in the honor bar was one I would like drinking.
Excellent.
Spanish is the official language, but most people speak English quite well. You also notice on the signs, they interchangeably use metric and English. So sometimes you might see the speed limit in miles per hour, but gas is sold in liters. It's somewhat unusual. One of the benefits of the Navy having been there is that the water and electricity are both piped in from the Puerto Rican main island.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't get a lot of rain on Vieques.
Oh, I think they do, especially in those months, but I guess they didn't want to build the sewage treatment plants.
Interesting. If you had to summarize Vieques in three words.
Okay, so beaches, horses, and small town.
Okay, excellent. Ira, thanks for coming on the show and telling us about your wonderful trip. And again, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
In news of the community, I heard from David, who commented on the episode we did recently on New Jersey. And I'm afraid we did not quite sell David on the merits of New Jersey. David said, no offense to you or your interviewee, but the program seemed to be lacking in terms of interesting facts or compelling reasons to visit New Jersey. Of course, the natural scenery was mentioned, but I think it's a given that nearly any of the 50 states are going to have some natural beauty to be appreciated. And David asked if we could do a follow-up episode, and perhaps we'll do that sometime in the future. I don't think we'll do that right away. And I apologized to David or to New Jersey, and I'm not sure which, that we couldn't entice him to go there. I also heard from Daniel, who said, I listened to your West Bank podcast, and this is from a while back, going to the Palestinian Authority with Matt Long, as I recall. I was surprised to find that your interviewee didn't mention the most interesting bit about Bethlehem, the apartheid wall. The 25-foot razor wire and guarded tower wall runs along the whole West Bank, but can best be seen in Bethlehem. Guides make their entire living off driving tourists around the wall and showing them the beautiful artwork. The famous graffiti artist Bansky has numerous works on the wall. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd has inscribed his own opinions on the wall. But moreover, when walking along the wall, one will see thousands of murals and pieces of beautiful artwork in all languages of the world, depicting optimistic and peaceful messages. Some of the guard towers are also black and charred out from the past intifadas. This is an absolute must-see, and quite frankly, I was surprised it got no mention. To be honest, it dwarfed the Church of Nativity in terms of awesomeness, both in the beauty of the peace messages and the horror of apartheid. And Daniel, thank you for that feedback. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. I'm recording this on New Year's Day. I hope you all have a wonderful New Year's, and I hope you have wonderful travels in that New Year's. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or to leave a comment on this episode, even better yet, at amateurtraveler.com. Join the Facebook community or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And if you'd like to help the show, and I'm sure you would, then there's two things I'd love you to do. One is to take the survey that I put out at the 400th episode, so that's amateurtraveler.com/survey400, and the other one is to go to amateurtraveler.com/vote and vote for me for a trip to Kerala for travel bloggers. That one you will have to log in with Facebook, so if that's a problem, just skip that. As always, thanks so much for listening.